Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Colossians. We're going to be taking a look at chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The word of God for the people of God. Well, this morning we are finishing up our sermon series, A Gospel Worth Sharing. And up to this point, what we've learned is that people need to hear the truth of the gospel just as much today as at any point in our history. That the condition of the human heart hasn't changed all that much over the last 2,000 years. And people are still enticed by the same sort of temptations. People are still drawn to the same sort of desires of the flesh and priorities in life that would lead them away from their Savior. And so the gospel is very much needed. But what we've also learned is that people are skeptical of us. That when Christians approach people out in the world today, they wonder, what do we get out of it? They're skeptical of our motives. They're skeptical of our message and the methods we use to share that gospel truth. What we also learned that whether we like it or not, it's the calling that God has placed on every believer's life to share the gospel. That we don't get the choice to not to, whether we feel like we have the gift in evangelist or whether we don't, whether we're called to be an evangelist or and go out into all the world and go be a missionary and use that gift of evangelism, or whether we're called to do it just right here. We all have that calling upon our lives. And then we also learned that takes place in our local community. And we talked last week about how sometimes we're tempted to complain a lot more about our community than to love it. And the problem with this is that when we go and then try and tell people about Jesus and we've set ourselves up as an opponent to the community, that they have a very difficult time hearing our message. And so we talked about how do we cut through that. And by investing in the community and by loving the community and praying for the community. Well, this morning, our conversation shifts to how do we do this on the personal level? What's it supposed to be like? Are we supposed to do what they did long ago and go out into the streets and shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? There's a place for that. Are we supposed to be like those who, this week I was able to see two pairs of Mormons going out, walking around, one group in the pouring rain, going from place to place to share their faith. And while I don't agree with Mormonism, I think it is tremendously flawed and has, and we don't have time to go into all the reasons why this morning. What I always admire about them is their willingness to go. And I think to myself, what would Christianity look like if we had that kind of courage? If we had a willingness to go out, whether we're in pairs, whether we're doing it alone, and we weren't sorry for the faith that we profess to believe in. And we just went out with boldness and courage. They do good at that. I don't like their message. But they do a good job of going out there and sharing it. When I was on a mission trip, there's another approach that sometimes people take, and that is we're not supposed to say anything about Jesus. We're just supposed to go help people, and if they ask us, then we can tell them. Now, when I was in high school and they told me those were the rules, I broke them all the time, and I told people about Jesus because I can't help but tell people about Jesus. And my youth leader at the time said, you know, We don't want to rock the boat. And I said, well, Jesus is okay to rock the boat. And he let it rock for a while before he calmed the storm. So I think I'm okay if I tell people about him. I was a handful as a youth leader, a youth person. We got into some trouble from time to time in my days back then. But it wasn't because we weren't faithful. It was because we wanted to raise the level of faithfulness. Because we wanted to go out and go forth and share the good news. And I'm sure I made a lot of mistakes. I'm sure over the years that I probably made some people walk away disgusted. But they always knew what I believed in. And over the years, I've learned how to keep those conversations going with them and how to share my faith in such a way where maybe, just maybe, it can have a lasting impact and they might come to know Jesus Christ the way that I do. And that leads us to this passage, this beautiful passage that where Paul asked people to pray for him. Where Paul talks to people about sharing the good news and sharing the message of Christ. And he really gives us some great insight to what it means to share the gospel. And so I want to highlight a few things for you this morning. The first one is this: when it comes to sharing the gospel, the best preparation is application. When it comes to sharing the gospel, the best preparation is application. Notice how he begins. He's just finished up, by the way, telling husbands how to be in relationship with their wives and wives how to be in relationship with their husbands. And he's even talked about, listen, there was slavery in the New Testament world. And he talked about, well, how do we work that out? What do we do? And how do we be faithful in this world that does things that God is not in favor of? And how do we have these kind of relationships? And he walks them through how to have all these personal relationships, and then he gets to this point in chapter 4, verse 2, and he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and being thankful. He could have just as easily said, listen, before you think about going and telling anybody else about Jesus Christ, you better make sure that you have a relationship with him of your own. Be prayerful. Be watchful. See where he's leading you. See what he's doing in your life. See how he's changing your heart. Why is that important? Because I can't go out and talk to someone about being set free from sin if I'm still in bondage to it. Amen? I can't go out and tell someone what it means to be redeemed if I walk around with guilt and shame in my heart all the time. I can't go out and tell people about the mysteries of God if I don't know any of them. I can't tell people what it means to have a relationship with Jesus if I don't truly have one. And so the best preparation you can ever do when it comes to sharing the good news is application. It's applying the gospel with the help of the Holy Spirit to your life, being delivered from sin, seeing its power broken over you, being released from pains and hurts and wounds of the heart, being redeemed, walking in to that new creation that you are in Jesus Christ. You see, you can't tell people about what it means to be born again unless you are born again. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Has that happened for you? If you want to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, the answer needs to be a yes. Yes, that old has passed away. Yes, the new has come. Yes, I have been redeemed. Yes, I have been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Yes, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Is that your reality? And by the way, I'm not calling you to a perfect faith. None of us can have that. We always have more to learn. It's not that you have to wait until you know all these things to go and share with people about Jesus. But what you do have to have is something to start with. You have to have some sort of basis to point to what Jesus Christ is doing in your life if you want to be able to make a difference in the life of somebody else. And so the best thing you can do this morning, if you're not sure where to begin, and even if you are sure where to begin when it comes to sharing the good news, when it comes to sharing the gospel, is ask yourself, how well am I applying the things that Christ has been teaching in me? How well am I embodying the very gospel that I'm going forth to proclaim? Have I experienced a new birth? Have I experienced what it means to approach the throne of grace with confidence, because I am covered by the righteousness of Christ, and I don't have to worry about even the sin that is in me at war, warring against the Spirit. I can still approach my Father in heaven, because when he sees me, he knows that I have been redeemed and I'm covered. Have you experienced that? So when it comes to sharing the gospel, the best preparation is application. When it comes to sharing the gospel, it is God that does all the heavy lifting. Remember that this morning. A few weeks ago, I asked you to write three names down of people you know who need to hear the gospel. And I imagine for some of you, you've probably thought about that. You might have known the three right then, or by now you might know who they are. And you're scared. What if they ask me a question I don't know? What if I stumble and I make things worse for them in coming to Jesus rather than better? And all this difficulty comes into your mind. What Paul wants us to remember is that it's God who does all the heavy lifting. And this is why there's no excuses when it comes to sharing the gospel. Listen to what Paul says. He asks the people, pray for us too. Don't just work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am enchained. Pray for me. That's what Paul says. That should be an important lesson to us. Before we ever dare think about sharing the gospel with anybody, we need to pray. We need to pray for ourselves to have the right words. We need to pray for them, for their hearts to be open. Prayer is essential to sharing the gospel, because in prayer we humble ourselves and we look to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to guide us. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Spirit unlocks the gospel messenger. And that's you, by the way. That's me, by the way. That door, we often think when the description of unlocking the door for us meant that Paul was saying, unlock the door so that people's hearts will be ready to receive what I have to say. No, Paul's reference to this is much more than that. He's saying, unlock the door of my tongue so that I can share the words that I need to share that will touch their heart. It's like what Jesus said, don't worry about when they take you to councils and kings and you have to sit there. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. Isn't that what our Lord said? It is the same thing when we go to share the gospel with anyone. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. He will unlock the messenger. He will also unlock their hearts, by the way. See, there is a supernatural part. It's actually the main part of sharing the gospel. If we think of sharing the gospel as just this physical thing that we do, and we go and we tell them about how Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament, and then how he came and he fulfilled all those promises, and how he died on the cross for us, and we tell them the story in perfection, apart from the help of the Holy Spirit, they'll listen to it, reject it, and walk away. Anybody ever had that happen? I sure have. And it's usually because I didn't pray, and I went out there in my own strength, in my own confidence, with my own message, and I didn't listen to the person I was talking to, and I talked at them instead of talking to them. So the Spirit unlocks the gospel messenger. It's his words. Also, the Spirit unlocks the gospel mystery. There is a mystery to the gospel. How do I know? Because if the Pharisees and the Sadducees couldn't figure out that Jesus was the Messiah, then it isn't by intelligence that you come to that revelation. They were the best and the brightest that Israel had to offer. And yet, one by one, they denied Christ. We need the Holy Spirit to unlock the mystery of the revelation of Christ in our own life, the mystery of those prophecies in the Old Testament, the mysteries of their fulfillment in the New Testament, and the ongoing nature of those prophecies going forward. The mystery of Christ. We have a supernatural faith. So that not only does the Spirit unlock our message, not only does He unlock the gospel mystery, but the Spirit unlocks the gospel miracle. That's, after all, the goal. For people's hearts to be changed, for their lives to be changed, for people to know what it is to be embraced by the love of God, covered by the blood of the Lamb, and to experience the grace that God pours down upon us so perfectly. Remember, it is God who does all the heavy lifting. So whatever the names you wrote down, whoever it is you're thinking about sharing the gospel with, remember, it's not all about you. It's about Christ at work in you. He'll show you how to connect with each and every person. That leads us to our next thought, that when it comes to sharing the gospel, even the best presentation can be undermined by poor choices. Even the best presentation can be undermined by poor choices. What do I mean? Why would I say that? We've already discovered that people are skeptical, right? People are untrusting of Christians and our message, much more so today than at any point in my lifetime. And all it takes is one poor choice to turn someone away from Christ. That's all it takes. One poor interaction. Notice what Paul says. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Then verse 5, be wise in every way that you act toward outsiders, so that you can make the most of every opportunities. How many of us pray about that? Do you pray about it? When you know you're going to go and be around a group of non-believers, do you ask the Lord, Lord, show me how to be a blessing to them. Show me how to love them. Show me how to connect with them in a way that you call me to. Help me to be a blessing. Do you pray that before you go into meetings? Do you pray about that before you go out to a restaurant? Do you pray about that when you go over and spend time with your neighbors? Poor choices. It reminds me of my college days where, look, I mean, I wasn't a bad kid all through being a little kid all the way up through college. I never drank, never smoked, didn't do any of that stuff, was following the Lord. At this time, I was in about 4 different Bible studies, going to 3 different worship services. I mean, if somebody was getting together to worship the Lord, I was there. But you know what I was also doing? Hanging out with a group of guys who were non-believers and who were about as wild as you can imagine. And they smoked, they drank, they partied, harder drugs, went on spring break with them, hung out. They were my best friends from high school. And it never dawned on me the damage I was doing to my witness and how it was preventing me to be able to share the gospel until I heard somebody say, oh, that Kenny Butcher's a Christian? He's so wild. And I thought, this person doesn't know me at all. But what they have seen is the company I keep. What they have seen is the places that I go. And I thought, I'm not going to lose that company. They're my friends. But I can choose to interact with them in a way that protects my witness, that makes sure that I'm not doing anything to harm the very message I want to share. Now, that's a simple thing. And other people might see it completely differently and think, listen, you go to those places, as long as you're not indulging, you're fine. I'm just talking about what the Holy Spirit said to me at that time in my life. That if I wanted to be an effective witness, something had to change. Here's why it matters. When our actions harm our witness, it causes people to lose confidence in us and our message. And if we are not careful, we can unintentionally become a stumbling block for unbelievers. Now, I don't know about you, but I never want to be that. And by the way, I gave you one illustration. There are tons. When Christians, when we're unwilling to forgive, there's another. When we have anger, when we have jealousy, when we deal with envy and greed, and we make decisions and live our lives based upon desires of the flesh and reject all the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and then we go and tell people about Jesus, they're like, how are you any different from the world? Why should I buy what you're selling? If I look at your life and you're just as much a mess as I am, what is the benefit of Jesus? Because I don't see any in you. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want anybody to say that about me. And by the way, this is not about being perfect. It's not about running away from the world. It's about being salt. It's about being light. It's about adding life. You know, I've seen people be able to forgive others in moments where it's only by the grace of God that they were able to do it. And I think to myself, what a testimony that is. What a testimony to be able to forgive unforgivable things. What a testimony it is when you see somebody break free from the bondage of sin. But what a detriment when we live like the world. And so when it comes to sharing the gospel, even the best presentation, you could get Billy Graham, who's gone on to be with the Lord, to give the most profound message that he ever gave to anyone. And if he didn't have the integrity to back it up, that message would be harmed. And then that leads to our last thought. When it comes to sharing the gospel, embrace the uniqueness of people. Listen to what he says. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may be able to know how to answer everyone. If you came here this morning and you've been to all the messages and you saw in the newsletter this week how to share the gospel, and you were expecting some 5-step process to sharing the gospel, that's not coming today. Because that's not what the gospel calls for. Read through the book of Acts. Look at the presentation. Sure, there are some common themes, but it all depends on your audience, right? They would go back to the Old Testament time and time again and point people to the activity of Christ in the Old Testament and how Christ was the fulfillment of those very promises, those very prophecies. And then they talked about what Christ taught. And the very message that he brought about the kingdom of God. And then the promises going forward. Yes, it is about all of that. But you know what else it's about? It's about knowing the person you're talking to. And knowing the unique cries of their heart. If I come trying to talk to an intellectual, I might speak to such a person in a different manner then I would share the gospel with a child. Right? Isn't that true? If I'm speaking with someone about sharing the gospel and they're a firefighter, I might speak to them a little differently than I might share the gospel with somebody who works in an office. That's why Paul said, listen, to the Greeks I become like a Greek, to the Jews, I become like a Jew. My goal is just that people know Jesus. And so I have become all things to all people. Paul understood the uniqueness of sharing the gospel. But a part of our problem is the only way to get to that level is with the help of the Holy Spirit and with a willingness from us. And this is hard, especially for me. You know I'm a talker. To be quiet long enough to listen. To be quiet long enough to know what is truly troubling the very people we're trying to talk to. To listen as they speak and hear the concerns of their heart. What does the scripture say? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we would learn to but listen, we would be able to hear and discern so much of what the unique needs of every person is. So think about those people you wrote down. What's unique about them? What do they need to hear? How do you need to share the gospel uniquely to each and every one of them? So that you'll know how to give an answer to everyone. Paul says it somewhere else. He says, listen, be ready to give a defense for the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. Are you ready? Yes, you need to know the scriptures. You don't have to have them all memorized, but you need to know some basics about how as early as even in Genesis chapter 3, the Messiah is promised. And all the way through the Old Testament, chapter after chapter, promise after promise, it is all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Yes, you need to know the basics of that. Yes, you need to know the basics of Jesus' life. But you also need to know and be able to explain what Jesus has done in you and how it's changed you. But even if you know all that, if you don't know your audience, if you don't know their hearts, if you don't know their concerns, if you don't know their burdens, you'll be limited in what you can do. Sharing the gospel is a supernatural work. And so what I'm asking you to do this morning is to invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of it. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to give you insights. Ask Him to be the one to lead you to who you need to talk to at any given moment. You'll be amazed at what happens. I've been able to share the gospel at traffic stops. One time at a McDonald's at exit 143. I don't remember what little town that is. If you travel back and forth between Memphis, you might know it better than me. But that little exit, that little gas station, I was able to share the gospel, lead someone to Christ. Why? Because I listened. It's not magic. It's just taking the time to invest in others. The same way, by the way, somebody did for you. Somebody did that to you, for you. They listened to the concern of your heart. And they shared the gospel in a way that you could understand. The question is, will we do that for someone else? Let us pray. Almighty God, we definitely need your help when it comes to sharing the gospel. And Lord, the reality we live in is that our neighborhoods are becoming filled more and more with people who don't know you. Lord, help us to assume that they need you just like we do. Help us to believe that not only do they need you, but they probably haven't heard all that much about you anymore. And Lord, help us to have concern enough for them to be able to listen to their hearts and respond as the Holy Spirit leads us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we have our hymn of invitation this morning, I want to invite you. Maybe you know somebody in your life that needs Jesus, that needs to hear the good news. I want you to pray for them. You can pray in your pew, or you can come down to this altar and pray. But as we worship, let's reflect upon where do we need to go forth, because that's what we're called to do. Come as the Holy Spirit leads you.